Welcome to Irish Podcast 0506, a multimedia production of the Tipperary Institute Open Media Program. Today we hear from Ellen MacArthur, the inspirational woman sailor who set a new record for sailing solo around the world. We catch up with web developer Fergal McKay and hear his views on Blink, the new book by Malcolm Gladwell. We also hear a short snippet about our visual culture from Maeve Connolly. And newly hired software developer Eamon Kearns talks about his job with Ericsson and about the preparation he found most helpful when transitioning from Tipperary Institute graduate to newly qualified Ericsson programmer. This is Bernie Goldbach, and I'll be your host today.
We were just writing a system for Abracababra for pulling information up from the till every night. So it's kind of like, I think that helped as well, got into college, kind of a job that I took in Dublin and really wanted, to be honest. I thought it would be good, you know, to have it on a CV.
And was there any particular skills or kind of any of the modules over the 4 years that you found particularly helpful where you are now?
Well, where I am now, because some of them that when I was doing them, I didn't think they'd be very useful, but even stuff we did Vulture, the concurrent and distributed algorithm, because there's a lot of that kind of sequencing stuff.
Yeah.
And then in Turger, everything is really design pattern, what the designers use here. I know they're pretty hard when you're doing them in Turger, but that's if you have a good knowledge of them, you'd know it.
And was there much training when you joined at first, or did it kind of throw you into the deep end?
Well, I'm only with them since the 4th of January, so I'm going to be training for the next probably 9 months or a year. There's different steps. You stay as a trainee for, maybe a year, then you can become a designer, and then you can become senior designer, and then after ages you can become a principal designer.
How big of a team are you working with, Eamon?
Well, at the moment over here there's around 15 of us, because the project is divided then up, I'm in the CS part of it, which is the configuration service, so there's around 15, but there's a couple back in Athlone as well. I'm not really sure how many there'll be altogether, but there's around 40 or 50 of Irish lads over here working on the whole sifting as a whole. I've done around 3 courses already, and I'm going on another one next week, a Cobra course, just constant learning. I'm not going to be what they have me doing now is just reverse engineering the code. I'm not going to be doing any change requests or anything like that for the minute, until I'm up to speed.
Well, what were they looking for when they did the CV review and then they called you in there and talked to you?
Before I did the interview, I didn't know anything about 3G or anything like that. So I read up a bit about that just so I'd know. I said to them, honestly, that I didn't know the in-depth of it, but I think they liked that you actually took the time to look about it. But it was mainly that you had experience with the UML, that you felt confident programming in Java, Well, they didn't really specify Java, but that's what they used. Some of the lads have done C++. Yeah, it was just because you do a good bit of databases as well. They use the Versant database in the network. Mm. It's an object-oriented database. So I was on a course there with that 2 weeks ago.
When are you going to be actually earning your salary?
Earning it?
When are you going to be done with all the training?
I don't know.
Very good.
28-year-old Ellen MacArthur provided one of the most inspirational accomplishments of the year 2005 when she crossed the finish line in her Trimaran B&Q on February 7th. She sliced nearly 24 hours off the world record for sailing around the world solo. At the finish line, she told the world that she feels elated and absolutely drained. You can hear it in her voice, along with the determination that makes Ellen MacArthur truly inspirational.
Now I'm elated. I'm absolutely drained. It's been a very tough trip. The whole South Atlantic was terrible for us on the way back up, and it's just been one big draining event really from there onwards. So I feel just absolutely exhausted, but obviously elated to be here, and I've got a mix of emotions in my mind. There's things spinning around in my head, I can see and touch people again. I can look anyone in the eyes. I've not looked anyone in the eyes for over 2 months, and just to have that glance, that look, that to be able to see something is something very special, and people take that for granted. So there's a lot of things going around in my head right now. It's just great to have crossed the line. It's great that I can finally switch my brain off and not have to concentrate on wind speed or boat speed or weather for the first time in over 2 months. And also just to relax in the company of others, because that's something that I have missed. I think you have to believe you have plans when you start on something like this, else you would never have the motivation and drive to build the boat and prepare the boat and to get everything ready. You have to believe you can do it, but to do it first time on the first attempt, I really thought that that was a close call. I really thought that would be extremely difficult. I thought it was beatable. Francis agreed that his record was beatable, but to do it the first time, I really didn't think that was possible. It's been a huge challenge, and it's been just a sleigh ride of ups and downs and five-day leads and losing days, and it's just been a real mix of highs and lows. When I crossed the line, I felt like collapsing on the cockpit floor and just falling asleep. I was absolutely over the moon, but just I think the fact that you can actually finally let go, that when you cross the line, it's over. It's just over, and you don't have to worry anymore. And I think that was the biggest emotion. It was one of elation, but also one of huge relief. I'm someone who's very determined, someone who, when I decide to do something, will just give everything I have to do it. But the resource, the drive to do that, I mean, it's easy to say that, but I think the drive to do that comes from the fact I work with an unbelievable team of people and are supported by some incredible people. And I'm not just out here doing this for me, I'm doing it for everybody. And when the chips are down and things are going wrong, I don't want to let anyone else down. And that's probably one of the biggest motivations in the hardest moment, is just not letting people down. But one thing I'd like to do is see my family, because they've suffered through this with me. And it'll be fantastic to be able to see them and let them see that I'm okay, I'm still smiling, and I'm on my way home.
Many congratulations.
Thank you.
Malcolm Gladwell puts a big premium on what we see in the blink of an eye. That's a skill refined by those with an established practice in the visual arts. Maeve Connolly lectures on visual arts practices, and she spoke briefly about the distinctions between folk culture and pop culture.
Folk culture is always located in the past and always gone. You know, it's always seen as being no longer available. And then a feminized and somehow less authentic mass culture.
Malcolm Gladwell's new book deals with the first few seconds we spend looking at things. In the blink of an eye, we absorb details that we may not understand. Gladwell explains what allows people to make expert decisions within a few seconds of seeing something. We asked web developer Fergal McKay about Blink, Malcolm Gladwell's latest work. McKay knows Gladwell's work and has something insightful to say about Gladwell's methods.
When you give them something like Malcolm Gladwell, it is asking them to read a chapter and to distill that chapter down to, even in Malcolm Gladwell, in a chapter there's probably only a dozen points. There's a lot of repetition because what the students probably don't appreciate at their age is that the point of repetition is actually to enforce the point. So it actually makes parsing the chapter much easier, because the point that's been repeated the most often is probably the most important. But you can distill a chapter of Gladwell down to less than a dozen points if you try, and that is what it is about. It is, Gladwell has started with a list of bullet points.
I have zero respect for Irish journalism. I will listen to Irish radio between Eamon Dunphy on News Talk, Vincent Brown, Morning Ireland, and 5-7 Live on Radio 1, I will get my news spread out across the day and catching various repeats. And then I have to supplement that news with the web. But I won't read Irish newspapers, because I would read English newspapers. I mean, the main English papers I'd be reading would be the Guardian and the Observer. They've got good international coverage, and they've got good tech coverage on a fairly general interest level. I mean, the Guardian is nice and tech-friendly.
This wraps up another podcast from Tipperary Institute. Senior producer for this series is Liam Burke. Technical director is Mike Kiley. You can find more details about today's program simply by Googling for the term Irish Podcast 0506, where you'll find more information about each segment. If you have questions or comments, feel free to post your remarks on the Irish Podcast weblog or send email to irishpodcast@gmail.com.
All material used in this production is licensed under the Creative Commons and can be used with attribution to Irish Podcasting. Our special thanks to the engineers at Lash FM and to the staff at Tipperary Institute for their continued interest in personal casting. This has been an Irish Podcast program. I'm Bernie Golbach. Thanks for listening.